This is Radio Shakti. At this time, we present Bhakti Vedanta, hosted by Raja Rishi Das of ISKCON.
Hare Krishna, I am Raja Rishi Das. Welcome to Bhakti Vedanta, a program presenting the philosophy and practice of Sanatana Dharma, taught by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. On today's program, we have a special guest again with us, His Grace Jagachakshu Das, born in Syria, brought up in South America, now teaching Krishna Consciousness all over the world. Jagachakshu Prabhu, Hare Krishna and welcome to our program.
Hare Krishna, thank you for receiving me in this nice program you have.
So, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, He created a miracle by spreading this message of Sanatana Dharma all over the world. And of course, He did so on the basis of the ancient scriptures of India. We would request Jagachakshu Prabhu to read a text from the Bhagavad Gita, and then we'll follow up with discussions about the purpose of human life.
I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 10. Utkramantam stitam vapi bunjanam va gunam vitam vimudha nanu pasyanti pasyanti jnana chakshusha. Translation: the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Jnana Chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances and is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world.
Jagachakshu Prabhu, at any given time, there is a certain amount of people who are experiencing tremendous distress. They've just lost a dear one, or they've lost something that is very valuable. Now, in this text, Krishna is saying that pashyanti jnana chakshushaha, that we should see through the eyes of knowledge, through the eyes of scripture. So can you tell us that if God is all good, if He is all loving, He is our Father, then we are His children, and why is it that we have to be subjected to such suffering in this situation?
Yeah, that's a very good question. because it deals with the reality of this material world, with people's lives. It is natural that we feel sorrow and pain when we lose a dear one, or we lose something very valuable to us. Somebody steal it from us. So, but we should ask ourselves why we are suffering. That's only human being can ask this question. Animal can't ask this question. They only go on suffering without knowing why. They don't even know they are suffering. But human being, because they have a developed consciousness, they can ask this question. Why I am suffering in this material world? Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with Him? And the answer is given here in the Bhagavad Gita, that we are not this material body, we are the spirit soul. And the soul is changing from one body to another. And in this way, we are creating sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, according to our own activities. So God is not responsible for the suffering of the humanity. We are suffering because of our own misdeed. So there is a good karma, bad karma. When we perform bad activities, we have to suffer the result. And we perform good activities, we enjoy the results. But either good or bad karma in this world are both temporary. So the goal of human life is not just to have a better karma, but to get out of the cycle of birth and death and to achieve everlasting happiness.
I would doubt that the majority of people in our society today has this at the front of our mind. So we would like to look at Srila Prabhupada. What urged Srila Prabhupada at the age 70 to leave India, to come to New York City, suffering a couple of heart attacks on board a cargo ship? What did he see really wrong with this society? What was so important that he was urged to come to give something to us?
Great saintly persons, out of compassion for the suffering humanity, they sacrificed their own life to try to give them some real spiritual benefit. So Prabhupada, risking his own life, his own health, he came at such an old age to the Western world to give this message of Bhagavad Gita. So can people understand that the purpose of life is not just looking for some flickering material happiness, which is going to end anyway. I mean, who can avoid old age, disease, and death? There is a saying, as sure as death. So while we are here, it is the duty of every human being to try to find out what is the purpose of our existence. Why we are here in this material world? We are here in this world because we wanted to enjoy separately from God, from Krishna. And Krishna, out of his kindness and mercy, he created this material world so to give us a chance to try to be happy separated from him. Actually, it is our free will that brought us here to this world. Sometimes teenagers, when they fight with their parents, sometimes they blame them. I didn't ask you to bring me to this world. Is it?
Yes.
So, but actually, the proof that we wanted to come here is that we are very attached to this world. We don't want to give it up. But actually, nobody can give up anything unless has something better. And this is Krishna consciousness philosophy that offers paramdrishtvani vartate, something higher taste, a higher satisfaction and happiness in a spiritual life. And how can you achieve all this? There is very simple formula. Anyone can practice at home or at his work or wherever the person is or whatever he's doing. We recommend people to recite, to chant the holy names of the Lord for a spiritual upliftment of society. And this chanting can give us a peaceful mind and internal happiness. So I recommend to everyone, please, to chant, to recite this mantra, Maha Mantra, the greatest mantra for deliverance. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now, you were not born and brought up in this Vedic culture, but you have adopted this strictly, and now you're teaching people on the basis of Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic scriptures in different parts of the world. Now, still in this country, there are a lot of people who are skeptical. For example, we are dealing with Bhagavad Gita, they would say, well, man wrote that and man made religion, so therefore they don't have any faith, they don't accept this as something that is meant to govern their life. So a lot of people, they don't actually accept anyone and anything as authority in their life. So how do you address such persons?
I will say that you have to accept somebody as authority. Either you accept the scientist as authority, or the politicians as authority, or your parents as an authority, or your boss as an authority. You have to accept somebody as an authority. So Krishna, God, is the supreme authority, and he is speaking Bhagavad Gita. He spoke this book 5,000 years ago. Of course, somebody wrote what he said, but the words came from his mouth. And millions of people around the world, not only in India, they revere this book, they worship this book, and try to learn. Even Mahatma Gandhi was reading every day Bhagavad Gita and getting so much enlightenment from it. So I will say, try to open up your mind, try to look for the truth. We are not here to preach any religion. It's not a question of belief. Belief can be changed. Some Hindu can change to Christian, some Christian can change to Buddhist, or Buddhist can change to Muslim, whatever. But we can change what we actually are. And what we are is, we are a spirit soul, eternal, part and parcel of the Lord. And all religions speak about God, but this Bhagavad Gita give a deeper understanding of what is God, what is nature, who are we, what is the purpose of life, what happens after death, what is reincarnation. So I will recommend, if you can get this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you can get it at our centers, in our temples. You can please give the address.
Yes. So sometimes people, they're skeptical. You're making the point that this is not just another sectarian religion, but people would say, well, someone chooses to be a Christian, someone chooses to be a Muslim, and this is just your choice.
I will say nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong in being Christian or Muslim or Hindu. The problem is that people call themselves as such, but they don't want to follow the laws of God. See? That's the main problem. There is nothing wrong with being in this religion or that religion. The important thing, how to follow the laws of God, how to be obedient to God. So that's actually failing everywhere, we can see. And that's why there are so much problems in the world. Because people, just in name, they wanted to be called religious, but they don't practice their religion. I found many people like that. And they openly say like that, I am Catholic, but I don't practice. See? So what is the use of that? We don't want just some change of religion. We want change of consciousness, change of heart. Unless people change their consciousness, their heart, how can they understand something more deeper in life? We are going to die sooner or later. So why not try to find out what is the purpose of life? What is there? And after that, why am I suffering in this world? And we are inviting people to understand the true transcendental knowledge. We are not inviting anyone to join some sectarian group or religion. This is a universal truth. Lord Krishna is not an Hindu god, although he appeared in India 5,000 years ago. The sun also comes from the east, but the east, the sun is not eastern or western. There is no Indian sun or American sun or Trinitarian sun or Chinese sun. No, sun is sun for everyone. The same way, this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge given by Lord Krishna is for everyone, because speaking the truth about the soul, about eternal life, about this material world, about why we are suffering. So these are practical things. And the answer you can get by the purport of our spiritual master Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is a self-realized pure devotee of the Lord, who is giving explanation how we can understand all these things.
The Vedic scriptures sometimes have, they got some strong aphorisms like Utishta Jagrata Prapya Varani Bodhata, to please wake up and try to understand the boon you now have in a human form. So this would seem to imply that people in general in this material world, they tend to be living in an illusion or sleeping. Can you speak about what in this age of Kali Yuga that is not conducive to people waking up, and how people can actually wake up to this truth that is available?
There's also in the Veda that it is said, Tamasima Jyotirgama, don't remain in darkness, come to the light of transcendental knowledge, come to see the truth. There is no worse blind man who doesn't want to open his eyes. Everybody has eyes, but if he keep them closed, how he can see? In the same way, like in the slaughterhouses, so many animals are there waiting to be slaughtered, but they keep up eating their grass like nothing happened. But one by one, they are disappearing. They are being killed. The same way, this material world is a huge slaughterhouse. Every day so many people are kidnapped, are killed, suffering. But we don't stop to ask ourselves, why am I in this terrible place? But no, people want to get material enjoyment no matter what, how much suffering they have to undergo. They have a saying in Venezuela, I just came from there. We suffer, but we also enjoy. Meaning, they don't care if they have to suffer, if they can get a little enjoyment. Why? Because they don't know nothing beyond that. The only thing they know is that we have to enjoy eating, sleeping, having sex life, and defending, and taking intoxication, you know. In Venezuela, you see also the same thing. When weekends, Friday comes, people start to drink, you know, beer and liquor and all kinds of things, and drugs and things, because they don't know nothing better. But this Krishna Consciousness movement is offering something better for the people. Higher consciousness, higher satisfaction, that can give people actual understanding of the purpose of life. The soul is full of bliss, full of knowledge, and eternal. But we are only concerned with our temporary life in this world. And that is actually due to ignorance. So our fight or war is against ignorance, not against anybody, but against this darkness of ignorance that is keeping people tied up to the suffering of this world, because they don't know nothing better than this. So our duty is to give this information, and we hope that some honest people who are looking for the truth can hear us and try to get some benefit from this transcendental knowledge.
It seems inevitable that whatever people struggle very hard and they try to put together to secure, the end result is that death comes and separates us from everything that we made for a whole lifetime of endeavor. We are separated. Now, in a previous lecture, you were making the point that everybody is struggling in this world, but it's just that some people are struggling to stay and some is struggling to get out. Perhaps you can elaborate on this point, that who is struggling to stay or what type of struggle keeps one in the cycle of birth and death, and what type of struggle saves one from material existence.
Yes, actually everybody is struggling for existence. People have to get up early in the morning to go to work, to get the money for maintaining their house, their family. They struggle every day, every single day. But just doing that without knowing what is the purpose of life actually is not so good. You know, a human being should try to understand what is the purpose of life. And just going on living just for eating and sleeping and having some sex and fighting with each other and trying to survive in this miserable material world is not meant for human beings. Human beings deserve something much better than this. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita gives us the teaching that we can achieve some higher goal in life. Unless we have some higher goal in life, or present life doesn't have an actual aim, actual goal. And that's why people are so much full of anxiety, frustration, because so many material attachments keep us bound up to this existence, and we don't know how to get out of it. How we want happiness and we want to avoid suffering, but we don't know how to do that. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how, by first understanding, first we have to understand these things, at least theoretically. Then once one, when one understands, Bhagavad Gita is like, so to say, in science there are three stages: the theory, the practice, and the result. So this Bhagavad Gita is like the theory. And the practice is Bhakti Yoga, which starts by hearing and chanting and remembering about the Lord, about Krishna. This is called Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. And that's by this process, one can cleanse the heart from all dirty things, and ignorance and passion can diminish, and the mode of goodness can increase. And in the mode of goodness, a person can see clearly that he's a spirit soul, he's different from the body, and his purpose in life is to achieve eternal happiness in the association of the Lord, in his spiritual kingdom. This material world is not our real home. We are just passing through this existence for some time only. It is not forever. But because we don't know nothing better, we think this material life is the all in all, and there is nothing else than that. It is not the truth. Please believe me. There is something much, much better than this. And don't waste your human form of life just trying to get some flickering happiness through sense enjoyment, which even the animal can get very easily. Animals also eat, also sleep, also have sex life. So what is the difference between human being and animals? That human being can ask about the truth: who I am, why am I suffering, who is the Lord, why is my relationship with Him? All these things can be achieved in this human form of life. And I urge people to please try to understand this Krishna consciousness philosophy. Try to apply it to your life and get the highest benefit that you deserve.
So we'll enjoy some kirtan now and then we'll continue.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jagatchakshya Prabhu, you were mentioning in one of your programs recently that about Darwin, that he was missing one point about the soul in his theory of evolution. So in this text that you read from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he is speaking about those whose eyes are not trained in knowledge. They cannot see how souls are quitting a body and taking another type of body. So could you speak a bit about this misconception because of not hearing from authority or from Bhagavad Gita?
Yes, actually, Darwin's theory of evolution is missing something very, very important. And that is the soul and the all frame. Because according to Bhagavad Gita, there is evolution, but the evolution is of the soul changing from one body to another body, from lower species to higher species in life. According to the Vedas, there are 8,400,000 species of life. There are 900,000 aquatics. There are 2 million tree varieties of trees and plants. 1,100,000 varieties of insects and reptiles. There are 1 million varieties of birds. 3 million varieties of beasts, four-legged beasts, and 400,000 varieties of human beings. That's not only about this planet, this is about the whole universe. That's another thing, that God is not going to create the whole universe to only have life in one planet and all other planets are vacant. That doesn't make much sense. But according to the Vedas, the bodies can adapt to a particular atmosphere in each and every planet in the universe. As we can see in this same planet, fish can live under the water, but we can't do that because their body is meant to do that. So we agree partially with Darwin's theory about the evolution of, but the soul is the one who is evolving from one body to another body. And then when we come to human life, we can ask the question, who am I? From where I'm coming from? What is the purpose of life? See? So we will say that actually Darwin had some idea, some theory about from where the human being came, but because he missed the spiritual aspect of life, the soul, he made a big mistake, and he's misleading many people with that.
Perhaps you can tell us the difference between living in the age of Satya Yuga, when people live according to Shastra and Dharma was intact, as compared to this age of Kali Yuga, in which people, they just live their lives just as they feel and they don't really accept this authority. So perhaps you can tell us about the difference between Satya Yuga, life then, and the goal, as compared to the goal in this age of Kali Yuga.
Yes. Actually, although this age is very fallen, there is one very good quality in this age. And that is, although in previous ages, human beings were highly developed in consciousness and in the mode of goodness, and life was very long life, and intelligence was very sharp, and memory and everything else, which is true. And in this age, so many things bad are happening. So, but there is one good thing in this age. And in this good thing is that simply by taking to the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, a person can achieve all perfection in life, even now in this fallen age of Kali Yuga. So we advise everyone, you want to develop the Satya Yuga, the Ram Rajya. Everybody is hankering after Ram Rajya because he was such elevated, pure king. The Supreme Lord appearing as Lord Ram. Everybody is hankering for that. So the only way to do that is by reciting the names of the Lord. As we told previously, we invite everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It would seem as though in other ages, people, that was their main focus. For the majority of people, when we read the scriptures, Ramayana, Puranas and so on, you read about ascetics, people living in ashram, and that was the goal of life. But in Kali Yuga, you're saying that the process is available. The chanting of the holy names is made very easy. But if we look at the general mass of people, even the educational institutions, this is not promoted as the goal of life. So what would you suggest, or how do you suggest that we bring about a solution in society?
You are right on that, that there is no section in schools or universities to teach people about the soul. What is lacking in the dead body that a living body has? So unless this science, this spiritual science, is taught in high schools, universities, so people can understand that there is a higher dimension in life, a higher purpose of life, that I'm not just a bunch of chemicals in this body. I'm higher than this. I'm a spirit soul. I'm full of knowledge. But I'm just covered by ignorance temporarily. I can purify myself from this outer covering and reach my true nature and actually get real happiness and satisfaction and peace of mind by doing this. So this is a great, great misleading thing, that the leaders of society are depriving people from a spiritual education. Actually, modern education is not education at all. It's just some kind of learning an art and ability to get a job and to get some money to survive. That's all. But actual knowledge, actual education means to teach people about the true nature of the soul, about the eternal nature of every living entity, and how to achieve this everlasting happiness and peace that everybody is hankering for.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yadi aracharati sreshta stattareveta rojana, that whatever actions great men perform, that the common men follow. Whatever standards they set by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Now, the scriptures also describes the duty of leaders, gurur nasasyat, svajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, that no one should become a guru or spiritual leader, no one should become father, mother, no one should become president, prime minister, if they cannot save their dependence from birth and death. Now in this age of Kali Yuga, the general mass of people, they're always dependent on a leader. We depend on our parents, we depend on the education system, and we think, well, they know what is best, so we put things in their hands and we just go along with that. So can you say, although we are living in this age of Kali Yuga, but our leaders, they seem to be missing something essential. Can you
definitely
comment on that?
Definitely. There is a great lack of spiritual knowledge, spiritual education in society. How can we expect any good in society if the leaders themselves are blind spiritually and they are misleading others who are also blind? So they both get fall in a ditch and suffer. So that's unfortunately the present situation of the society at large. Not only in this country, but everywhere in the world, we see the same thing. So in order to do something for the good of society and humanity, the leaders should try to learn the spiritual science of the soul, of Bhagavad Gita, and try to teach it to others. That's the main duty they have in life. So they can save people from so much suffering, so much anxiety, so much confusion due to so many anomalies that are happening in this modern age.
We generally, you know, people, they are alarmed at all the problems, the distress in society and so on. Sometimes people become angry. They say, but I am good, I am religious, and so many bad things are happening to me. Why is this?
Oh, you know, there was one rabbi wrote a book entitled Why Bad Things Happen to Good People.
Yes, Harold Kushner.
Yes. But you know what will be interesting, to write a book with the title Why Good Things Happen to Bad People also. Yes. I mean, we see both things happening, because after all, in this world, nobody is completely good or completely bad. Everybody has something good, something bad. So according to our own activities, we are creating our own happiness or own suffering. We can't blame it on God, that why God, I'm a good man, how this happening to me? Something wrong I must have done in the past, in this life or a previous life, I don't remember. But it's not by chance. So how we should react to these problems is that those problems to remind us that this material world is a temporary place full of miseries. Dukkalaya mashashwata. Human life is meant to achieve eternal happiness, eternal wisdom, not just to try to struggle to counteract this, the miseries of this world by some material advancement. That is not enough. That can solve some problems, but not the real problem of life, which is jamma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha udarshanam. A wise person always will see that there is this miseries, birth, death, and in the middle, old age and disease. So with all these miseries, how can one be really happy in this world? No matter how optimistic somebody may be, how can I avoid these miseries? So Bhagavad Gita is offering a solution. Rise above bodily concept of life. Try to understand your spiritual nature. Try to connect with God by love, by devotion, bhakti. And then you can be really happy and peaceful.
I would say that from what I have heard from a lot of religious people, their concepts of God is very vague. And Srila Prabhupada himself, he would say that a lot of talk all over the world, God, 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 it's empty talk because of the fact that people don't actually have authorized knowledge as to who is God. Now, Bhagavad says that vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanam advayam brahma iti paramatma iti bhagavan iti shabdite. That learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth, they know this absolute truth as Brahman, this all-pervasive spirit, as Paramatma, God within the heart, as Bhagavan, that supreme, all-attractive person. Perhaps you can elaborate a bit about how this relates to many religions, just because of the fact that many religious people, they just say, God is a spirit. But then at the same time, if you examine the scripture, you will see things like man is made in the image and likeness of God, and blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Some people say God is the Father, but then they say He is a spirit. So can you say that how these concepts of the Vedas is actually prevalent in all religious understandings to different degrees?
Yes, actually all religion are looking after God, which is that is the purpose of religion. But yes, it is true, God is a spirit, but God is the supreme spirit. We are the minute spirit, and God has a form which is full of bliss and full of knowledge and eternal, Satchitananda Vigraha. So of course, although all religions are looking after God, you can find in the Vedas much more detailed information about the form of the Lord, about His abode, about His activities, which you don't find in other scriptures. We respect as holy scriptures all other scriptures, like the Bible, the Quran, the Torah. These are holy scriptures. We offer utmost respect. But even Jesus Christ said, there are more truth to be known, but you are not prepared to hear it. So there is much more truth to be found about God, because God is unlimited. We have to have an open mind to understand what is the Bhagavad Gita teaching? What is Ardha Veda's teaching about God? Some religions, they paint God as an old man, you know, with white beard and white hair. Why they do that? Because they think that God created the world, which is correct, but that happened so long ago that for the time being he must be very old. But if God is a spirit, he doesn't have a material body, how he can get old? His body is not material, it's a spiritual. That's why when Lord Krishna came to this planet 5,000 years ago, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he was like 120 years old. But he looked like a youth, like a young man of 18, 20 years old. Why? Because God, although we are made on the image of God, means God also has a human form, but his form is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. His body is not made of bones and flesh, like our body, which is destined to get old, disease and death. So there is a difference between God and us. We are part of God, we are minute spirit, but God is the supreme spirit. And his form is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, and all attractive. That is the meaning of the word Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Because he has all beauty, all wisdom, all power, all fame, all knowledge, all renunciation in full. That is the meaning of the word Bhagavan.
One thing I find very enlivening about the teachings that Srila Prabhupada conveyed from the Bhagavad Gita is that spiritual life is actually very, very practical. It's not just a prayer in the morning or prayer in the evening, and it is not just confined to some meditation, but from Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada taught that a person working, how that person can meditate from Bhagavad Gita and work, and that work is actually devotion. What about eating? People actually like to enjoy eating. Now, people like to sing and dance also, but for a lot of people, religion is one thing, but when they want to have a great time, then they think, well, we have to hit the street, it's carnival, and we have to go and have a great time. So one thing about Srila Prabhupada's teaching is how it incorporates singing, dancing, the music, and all these things. Even eating is worship for God. So perhaps you can elaborate how spiritual life is actually very practical in day-to-day life also.
Not only practical, but it's joyful. Everybody is looking for joy, for happiness. And this process of chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy and taking vegetarian food offered to the Lord, Krishna Prasad, enliven everyone and makes everyone happy. So this is a happy process.
So it's quite amazing that when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, although people were trying to become hippies, they were trying so many different things, but actually they found great taste, joy in taking Krishna Prasadam, in studying Bhagavad Gita. They found something very practical, very enlivening. You yourself, perhaps you can tell us, what inspired you to actually devote your life to this practice?
Actually, I was seeking the true. I was after the true. And I was experiencing that this life can't be the all in all. It must be something else beyond this. Because I could see people are working so hard just for something temporary. After all, who can avoid death, old disease, old age, all these things? Nobody wants all these things. So must be an answer. And when I read Prabhupada's book that a friend of mine gave me, one of his books, and everything he said make a great sense to me. I found the answer to all my questions. And when I was convinced by his teaching, I decided to become his disciple, his followers, and apply my life to these teachings. And for 35 years now, I've been practicing this process of bhakti yoga, and I'm really very happy and satisfied in this process, and I want to share all this satisfaction and happiness with everyone else.
What final message do you have for our listeners in this country? What would you like to prescribe or recommend for them to be happy also?
I will just suggest to everyone, please try to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's not sentimental. It's not something imposed on the mind artificially. No, it's the nature of every soul to have this love, this devotion for the Lord. It just need to be reawakened to our true nature, to awake from this dream that we can be happy without God. We can be happy just by material enjoyment only. No, life is meant for something better, for something higher. Don't waste your time just eating and sleeping and having some sex life and fighting each other and as the goal of life. No, there is something much better than this. And this we are offering very freely, very lovingly, friendly to everyone. Please try to understand the purpose of life. Try to understand your inner self as part of the Supreme Being. And try to chant the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jagachakshu Prabhu, thank you very much for being on the program. We'd like to invite our listeners to please take advantage by listening to our following programs. If you have any questions, comments on our program, please feel free to give me a call at 671-7324. I am Rajarshi Das saying Hare Krishna, and do join us again next week for another presentation.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You have been listening to Bhakti Vedanta with Rajarshi Das of ISKCON. Join us next Monday